He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's the Monday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And look, we're kind of picking up where we left off last week. We've got all green on my screen here so far. I hope it's green on your screen. The Nasdaq's up 56 right now, which puts it at 14,870. The Dow, which was down, is now up a little. It's up 28 points to 37,333. I'm going to say that's a new all-time high for the Dow. The S&P 500 is up 18 points, closing in on its all-time high, which is just above 4,800. The S&P is now at 4,737. Can we hit a new record before the year is out? The small caps are up 0.5% right now. Crude oil up big as BP says they won't be shipping oil through the Red Sea area. And that's got oil up $2.75 per barrel to $74.18. Gold's up a buck to $2,037. Silver's down a nickel to $24.10. And the 10-year, which closed last week at 3.93, is up 3 basis points to 3.96. And Bitcoin is down $92 to $41,531. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, the last full trading week of the year. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, it looks like we're going to pick up where we left off on Friday when we had the NASDAQ up 52, the Dow up 57, the S&P posting its best week in over a month after the long-awaited Fed pivot finally arrived.
Yeah, it looks like the market's in the holiday spirit, if you will, right?
Yes. Now, what is meant by the Fed pivot? Explain it to the folks.
Yeah, I mean, we were sitting here in 2021 kind of waiting for the same thing, of course, going the other way with the Fed raising rates. And, of course, Powell announced that, I believe, the day after Thanksgiving in 2021. Seems like a long time ago now. But this last week, of course, announced, basically indicating, right, that at some point in 2024, that they'll begin going the other way that they have sufficient tightening and it's time to reduce rates. So that's the quote unquote pivot. Now, when that occurs, we don't know. But of course, the market looks like it's pricing it in, at least from a percentage standpoint. It looks to be a big chance. The market's betting on March. I think the last time I checked it was right around an 80% chance of a some type of cut, whether it's a quarter point. There's also some that say it may be a half point, but we're not necessarily we're not calling for a half point. It's just what the when you look at what the market's betting on.
The market get for Christmas? It got a brand new dot plot.
Okay? Yes,
and it opened it up, and it was a surprise. I mean, Santa, in the form of Jerome Powell, he did surprise the market. I mean, it wouldn't have blasted off like it did if it was anticipating. He kept the policy decision was keep rates unchanged, but it was the updated dot plot that signaled at least 3 rate cuts in 2024, and Jerome Powell refrained from dashing. Being the Grinch, the market's dovish expectations. So we had a good rally to end the week. We're going to end up having a good year unless something happens there over the next 2 weeks. We've got a full week of trading this week. I imagine Monday's off, right? No, Monday's Christmas. Monday's Christmas.
Monday,
okay.
It'll be closed. Yeah, closed Monday, and then I think that's it for the year. I had to look at the calendar, but I think that's I think that's the last day off because you've got January 1st, New Year's Day being that Monday. Monday, January 1st. So
Trading days left, it sounds like. And I'm looking forward to every single one of them. I really do enjoy the trading day.
Well, if you're going to have a good time, right, now's the time to pay attention and do it, right? It's we've been through some rough seas, right, for the last
always
off and on for the last year and a half, and then of course the 2023 has been a very nice one, a good bounce back year, and hopefully to finish it out really well. The big difference is, like you said, on the dot plot, we only had two dots
we have three,
and now we've got three. So, and you highlighted that in the in the newsletter this weekend,
and it's all because of inflation. Inflation is cooling. So last week, obviously, anything that was interest rate sensitive, real estate was the number one sector in the market last week. The REITs, the home builders, just absolutely on fire, just breaking out. Real estate up 5.3%. That was that sector. Basic materials were up 4% last week. That is a bet on a soft landing, which I'm reading is the most crowded trade in the market right now. Heaven forbid if we don't get our soft landing. The industrials were up 3.6%. That's kind of a move, in my opinion, away from high PE to low PE. The financials were number four. Again, a move away from high PE to low PE. The financials were up 3.6%. And, of course, the market's expecting more activity, lending type activity next year because interest rates are a little more palatable here. Consumer discretionary was up 3.5%. Then you get down to information technology. It kind of lagged the market last week because by nature it's high PE. So we'll see if this move, I think it's going to continue. I think, where else is the money going to go? Barry, you got two choices here. The money is going to continue to crowd into the Fabulous Seven, okay? Is it going to just continue to just pour into these Fabulous Seven? Or are you going to start to see some leaking out from the Fabulous Seven, which drove the market in 2023, and see it move to other areas? And the most natural area for that money to move would be to lower PE, smaller stocks. And that's what I foresee. Now, which ones? That becomes the whole trick of the this whole endeavor. I've identified many right now that are on the receiving end of funds, and they are all, for the most part, lower PE, smaller stocks. And I have a buy list. I have a shopping list, and I'm checking it twice this week, and I'm looking to put a little money to work in some other areas of the market here.
And there's a lot of cash on the sidelines. You look at money market balances, of course, as the Fed reduces rates on the short end of the they only control the short end of the curve, and so as they as rates, recent rate expectations, or as they cut rates, right, that's going to reduce those, short-term money market, returns. And so it's going to, you would believe historically, right, that usually pushes money to back to the market.
Yes, absolutely.
Towards risk assets. So.
Now, you would think that the last week of the year with people traveling, people standing in lines at the airport, Christmas shopping, that we'd have a non-busy economic calendar. Oh no, we have a heavy business calendar, economic calendar, housing, manufacturing, consumer sentiment, the monthly update on the core PCE
data dump.
So we're not going to rest here this last week, full week of the year. There's also so quite a bit going on in the market. I look too as I think geopolitics is going to play a big role in 2024. Not that it doesn't always play a big role, but you've got a U.S. election next year that, to say the least, is going to be quite contentious. You've got the war pretty much escalating in Israel there with that Hezbollah, the Northern Front, heating up. So there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. You got the U.S. rattling their saber towards Yemen and the Houthi rebels, and you got Damascus being hit by bombing by Israel. So a lot going on in the geopolitical area of the market, which definitely impacts the rest of the market. And it began today with BP becoming the latest company to halt voyages through the Red Sea. Barry, I think they're going to have to do something there to clear those lanes, because that's international waters, and there's a lot of trade that goes through there.
Oh, yeah.
And you're seeing the result. What's the result? Oil up $2.50 per barrel. There you go. Geopolitics impacting the markets. Okay, when we come back, we got a lot to talk about on a very busy Monday. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I think it's pretty logical to predict that the geopolitics will play a big role, much bigger role in 2024 than they did this year, even though they did play a big role here in 2023. But now you've got a very important shipping lane. 1/6 of the commerce goes through that shipping lane in the world. And, you know, instead of just targeting Israeli-linked ships now, they're pretty much targeting everything. So you've got the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin headed to Israel today to talk about the developments there. I see some kind of an escalation there. Well, that's the job of the U.S. Navy, right, to keep the shipping lanes clear.
Right, and in any other countries, right, that are affected from a trade standpoint. So, you know, it's a lot of those things tend to seem to fall on our shoulders. But yeah, you would. We're not the only ones using.
I don't see China out there protecting those waterways. And you know, you've got two of the biggest shippers in the world, Maersk, which most of those freighters coming into our port carrying those containers are Maersk owned. And then number two, BP, that's the old British Petroleum, biggest oil company in the world, one of them, is not going to ship oil through those straits, which I guess that's good for OPEC, isn't it? I mean, it's in OPEC's best interest to have that kind of issue going on there, because it keeps oil prices high. But anyways, that's what's going on.
Yeah, every time I see the Maersk, I always think of the I'm the captain now. Remember when they hijacked a ship years back?
So. Yep, absolutely. Okay, you know, I'm also seeing defense stocks. Okay, they could have another good year. Boeing did well this year, although you know their focus is not defense, but they do have a large defense business. The Israeli defense stock, Elbit Systems, ESLT, most of these, it's interesting to see where the money is being spent on defense. Most of it is missile deterrence, right? Look at all the missiles that have been fired into Israel by, Hamas. And how many of them have hit anything? How many of them have caused any damage? That's because they have that missile defense.
Yeah, it goes back to the Patriot missile use in the first Gulf War. Even back then, remember where what they were using? I think we were using those Patriot missiles to protect parts of Saudi Arabia at the time.
So, yeah, and Kuwait. Yeah. Lockheed Martin's subsidiary secures a $157 million missile defense contract. This is to defend against ballistic missiles. Missiles seem to be a big thing of our day and age. Northrop Grumman backs a $164 million defense logistics agency. And this is weaponry for the F-18s. Those things have to be replenished. with the weapon system. So Northrop Grumman, we'll keep our eye on the defense stocks. We currently don't own any. We started the year, we had some Raytheon, but Raytheon then had some issues with parts. They had a bad engine issue. The engine issues. So we backed out of it because, you know, we felt like the story had changed. Well, U.S. Steel, here's a deal, being bought by Nippon Steel. So U.S. Steel is going to become Japan Steel for $55 per share. They're valuing U.S. Steel, which has been kind of on the ropes and looking for a buyer for quite some time, at $15 billion. That is the value of this deal. Soft landing in the cards as the Congressional Budget Office sees inflation nearing Fed target in 2024. Well, the target's 2%. We're just over 3% right now. And, of course, the other part of that soft landing scenario is the economy remaining in a positive forward motion, which at least as of now, it is. GDP is nowhere near. The last GDP print we had was up around 5%. And, of course, the earnings for the S&P 500, which for me is the biggest indicator, which has driven the market since 2009, the numbers are still about the same for next year. Somewhere in that $245 per share area. This year is going to come in at about $222 per share. 2009, go back to then, we were at $60 per share in S&P 500 earnings. What's driven the market higher? Earnings, earnings, earnings. What will continue to drive the market higher? Earnings, earnings, earnings. And what will eventually bring an end to this long bull market and start taking it towards a bear? Earnings, earnings, earnings when they start to crumble. So we keep a very, I update that every Saturday in the newsletter, every Saturday in the newsletter, those earnings forecast, and I put them in perspective, and I make my forecast on future expectations, which are subject to weekly change. We've also seen some multiple expansion, I think maybe a little too much. We're approaching 20. We might have finished at 20 on Friday. It was really close. We were at about 19.8, something like that. 20's a little rich in this market right now, even though we do have interest rates pivoting. But at the current interest rate, you know, I think we should be closer to the 10-year average, which is more in the 18.5 range. So we're definitely a little pricey in the market right now. And a lot of these big cap stocks are very pricey. Goldman Sachs raises its year-end target for next year to 5,100. Okay, so this is prediction season. You've got someone at 3,800 out there. Is it J.P. Morgan or Wilson at Morgan Stanley?
Probably Morgan Stanley. I don't know.
3,800. Yeah. Goldman Sachs raises its year-end. So to get to that, all right, you've got to get earnings of about $250 per share, and you've got to trade at a P.E., forward P.E. of 21 or better. So that's a little bit on the rich side for me. That's 8% from the current level. I just think the market needs to pull back some in January to get back to some more reasonable numbers. But that is the latest target out there from the Goldman Sachs, our friends at Goldman Sachs. Now, the other big thing to watch in 2024 is the push towards electric a non-fossil fuel world going to is the pace going to increase? There seemed to be a step back here in 2023. The major car dealers, Ford, GM, all kind of taking their foot off the accelerator there. When we come back, wait till you hear what Canada's plans are. You know, we've got, my wife and I own an electric, all-electric vehicle as our second car. I've got some hesitation about the whole country going towards EV, but we'll talk about Canada when we come back and what Elon Musk has to say about it. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, in a surprise move, Canada, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, Canada's EV push, zero emission car mandate expected this week. Canada, the country of Canada, will issue new rules this week requiring all new passenger cars sold in the country to be zero emissions by 2035. That's not very far down the road. That's a pretty quick phase out. This is about the most aggressive plan I've seen, other than I think California has a similar plan. The rules, which could be released as soon as Tuesday, will shorten wait times for EVs, ensure enough affordable zero-emission vehicles are available. I don't know how they're going to do that to meet the demand. Let's see, they can earn credits by supporting the built out of EV charging infrastructure, which, I mean, that's got to really catch up. That's woefully behind. So that is it. They are
moving.
How
do those things do in the cold? I don't mean, I'm just curious.
Well, I know the most ambitious plan of all is Norway, which is a country that is oil rich. And they've been moving rapidly towards EVs, and they're stepping back from the rapid move to EVs because they don't do very well in the cold.
I wouldn't think they would. I just, you know, from a lot of things work in normal conditions, but you know, when you get to some of those extremes, things don't tend to not work as well. And I don't know how long they've been tested there, but you know, the other thing is, what, just think about investment. Like, you know, I guess that means, you know, if you're planning to build a new, you know, gas station, right? I guess you need to rethink that, right, in Canada and move. I mean, whether it's charging station or some other, use the land for something else. It just seems like you go down an investment path that ends up, you know, not easy to, you know, no pun intended, to U-turn from, and you know, and you're just really, I mean, you're set yourself back. I mean,
well, and any time you force people and take away their free agency, that's not good at all. Let the markets kind of determine it. You can have goals, right, and kind of let the people determine for themselves, but to mandate it. Of course, that's Justin Trudeau, who loves to mandate things and use his power and authority to tell people what to do. So anyways, I'm sure Tesla likes it, right?
Well, does it end up using, you know, the other trick is, you know, do you end up getting something like, because I've thought about this a lot, like, you know, like Cuba, right, where you essentially, you know, they had, you know, could, you know, due to the embargo, right? They kept, their, you know, 57 Chevy, right, alive, you know, to this day. Does that increase, you know, used car parts, right? There's all, you know, all, you know, how can you, if you can't sell a new car, right? It may make the cost of a used combustion engine car more expensive.
Yeah,
right?
I gotta believe that there will be a piece of the plan when they've got to be off the road, and you won't have, right. You'll get fined for driving a combustion engine car. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Elon Musk says fossil fuels should not be shunned amid a green transition. And, you know, look, this past year we've seen just the unraveling of the solar stocks. They have just been clocked in 2023, and there's been a big step back. And that's the other issue you have with charging these cars. It takes a lot of electricity to charge the cars, and where does the electricity come? It's not coming from the sun to charge these cars. It's got to come from power plants, which are either going to be liquid natural gas or hydraulic dams or whatever. It's going to put a massive strain on the grid. And try changing a tire on one of these beasts, which I did, because those batteries, they are heavy, really heavy. Okay, so anyways, Elon Musk says, you know, now here's a guy who has a, you know, he should be saying, oh, yeah, we got to get away from fossil fuels because
right?
it's in his best interest. But
right.
Musk is a guy that pretty much, you know, at least tells it like it is. He said oil and gas shouldn't be shunned because it is important to cut emissions, he says, but I don't think we should demonize oil and gas. He says it will take several decades. Now, Trudeau is going to do it in one decade, all right? Get away from fossil fuels in Canada, one decade. And, of course, Canada's an oil-rich country. The Alberta oil sands and all this kind of thing. So I think Elon Musk is a little bit more rational about all of this. And, of course, let's see how Tesla is reacting today to this news. Let's just take a look, because they stand to be a beneficiary now. The other companies, Ford, GM, Stellantis, they're all saying, you know what, that's going to be rough to reach those kind of goals. Tesla's having a good day. It's up 1.5%. Tesla's also having a tricky road in Scandinavia because they're trying to force them to be unionized. Now the institutions are joining in, siding with the countries, mostly Sweden, trying to get Tesla. They're not going to let Tesla operate in the country unless they unionize. Favorite 10 stocks for 2024 from Barron's. All right. I just was glancing through them. One of them is Alibaba, one of the cheapest tech-oriented companies in the world. I'm not going to go running out and buy Alibaba. Number two is Google. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. It's not cheap. Number three, Barrick Gold. Well, that's an interesting one. Number four, Berkshire Hathaway. Now, that's really going out on a limb, Barron's, by picking Berkshire Hathaway.
Right.
I mean, you guys are getting really daring.
Choose the market, right?
Finding some unknown stock. Beyond Tech. Now, that's a surprise. That's the one that made all their money with the vaccine and haven't done anything since. Chevron is another pick. And, you know, Hertz Global, really? Madison Square Garden Sports, Pepsi, and U-Haul. That's the Barron's top 10 for 2024. You can buy those stocks, see how they do, put your portfolio together. You can line your birdcage with it. It's up to you. Alex Rodriguez, his SPAC is going to merge with Link Global. Well, you know what kind of business they're getting in, Barry? They're going to compete with Starlink.
Yeah, satellites. Right.
Which is our friend Elon Musk. I have Starlink at my home as the ultimate backup in case I can't get internet. I can always point my dish to the stars. That's what they're using in Ukraine.
Yeah, and they're going to use it. You know, they want to use it for you know, flip phones and regular, you know, phones where, you know, if you're that aren't serviced by or have poor coverage by cell towers. So
yes, and it's not cheap. I mean, the Starlink. I can't remember what I'm paying. I want to say $90 a month or 110, something like that. But A-Rod is going to compete with Musk. That ought to be a battle royale.
I mean, do you really ever want to compete with Musk?
No.
I mean, just saying.
Look at Lucid. Look at Rivian. Look at Fisker. Adobe is terminating their merger, and Adobe's up. I still like Adobe. We own Adobe. Adobe had a spill here recently. They've had a lot of spills over the last 25 years, and they've continued to hit new all-time highs as they've been a major disruptor over the years. And last but not least here, looking for a deal, reportedly exploring a sale, Chuck E. Cheese. I haven't been to a Chuck E. Cheese in 25 years, I don't think. It was started by Wozniak, right? Who was Steve Jobs' partner?
I did not know that piece.
I'm pretty sure it's Wozniak.
Okay.
Because
right.
Chuck E. Cheese kind of looks like him a little bit. So they're exploring a buyer or something to try to keep that franchise alive. They went bankrupt 3 years ago.
You would think they would have during COVID. It seemed like it would have been a business model that would have been a little tough, kind of like the pizza.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a look underneath the surface of the market. We do have a pretty good day. I'm kind of seeing the market return to what's led the way all year long, and that is the big tech stocks. Even though last week we had this massive rally in the financials, they're going to settle a little bit this week. The real estate REITs, it seemed like they would settle a little bit this week. The banks, I can't find any value in the banks. The upside potential is just not there for me. So, we're looking for new leadership in the market to start to emerge here for 2024. We'll be right back. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. I've been in the right place. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on this final full week of the year in the market. It is time to start thinking about the next year, getting a plan together. I'm filling out my 2024 calendar here, getting ready, getting organized. And part of that, obviously, a big piece of your life. Is your retirement plans, your financial plans, etc. Protecting on the one side, that's important, especially during stressful times. We've had good times in the market since 2009. Earnings have been going up. They won't always continue to go up. At some point in time, we're going to have another bear market. I believe in vigilant investing, not day trading, not, like overly active, but being vigilant. And instead of just basing your plan on your age only, what about interest rates? What about earnings? What about geopolitics? There's a lot of other factors that come into play, hence the word vigilant. And I would say the other one, Barry, is unconstrained, okay? I'm not married to the Fabulous Seven. We're doing well today. We're hitting a new high for the year again today. We have happened to be pretty much heavily invested this year in the leaders of the market. We started getting into them on January the 6th when we called the bottom in the NASDAQ and even put it in writing with the Seeking Alpha on Seeking Alpha. And a lot of people took us to task. What? Are you crazy, you guys? Well, we were right again. We also called the bottom during the COVID in March of 2021 when the market absolutely blasted off from there, because the market is forward looking. If you'd like to make an appointment with us here, got some time off, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get a couple free weeks of the Full Monty newsletter, which is my internal research that I force myself to do every week so that I don't miss anything, whether it be interest rates, earnings, the economy, global asset classes, precious metals, etc., all the highlights from the week. We're always looking for new opportunities, new ideas. There were some that emerged this past year. I think the biggest probably new area that emerged would be Lilly and Novo Nordisk this past year, and AI with ChatGPT and NVIDIA, and et cetera, and there's going to be some new areas emerge in 2024. And that's why you've got to always have your ear to the ground and reading and observing. And I look at about 1,000 charts a day You know, backed up by my app, which has the valuations of those stocks, the momentum numbers, my proprietary ranking, that really narrows it down for me. Today I've got 892 out of 6,000. I can eliminate the other, or 5,200 or 5,000 or whatever it is, and focus on the ones that are meeting my criteria right now. But we've pretty much been sitting pat with what we've owned. But there's definitely going to be some rotation. We're seeing some now, and it's the natural course of this river to flow would be out of these big cap, large, mega cap, high PE. Not that they're done, but you're going to see some flowing into the smaller, lower PE stocks in different sectors of life. So let's just take a look at today. The biggest winner today, I didn't see it coming, U.S. Steel is up 26.4% on a buyout by Nippon Steel in Japan. I'm not a big fan of the steel stocks. They're just so unpredictable, whether it be Nucor or Cleveland Cliffs or U.S. Steel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then as I look at the S&P 500, I get a pretty good idea of the way of which way the wind is blowing here today. I'm seeing some underpriced stocks. Of course, the oil stocks are having a good day. That began last night when BP, the news broke that they're not going to use those shipping channels through the Red Sea where the Houthi rebels are firing missiles. And our U.S. Navy, obviously, I'm sure they're going to increase their presence down there. I know right now there's at least one destroyer in that area that's been involved, had some missiles fired at it. In fact, you know, the U.S. has been attacked like 90 times in the last month, mostly in Syria. And we haven't done anything that I know of in return yet. But BP driving oil prices, oil stocks up higher today, Valero, Marathon, etc. Then I'm seeing pretty good action in some of the fabulous seven. What can I say? Meta is having another good day, the company formerly known as Facebook. Meta's up about 2.5% there so far. Let's see, 2.5%, exactly 2.5%. We've got Google, Alphabet, up 2%. It's one of Barron's top picks for 2024. I would say, you know what, that's not a real daring pick. You're not really going out on a limb. The stock had a huge run here in 2023. How much is left in the tank? NVIDIA's up 1.9% today. That's more of the same, right? That's led to the market. Oracle's up 1.7. And then you got a lot of oil stocks mixed within these leaders today. Halliburton, Baker Hughes, etc. So that's kind of how the market is going today. Lilly's having a good day. Lilly's up 1.5%. Of course, Lilly was one of the big stories of this past year. It's one of our biggest holdings as we go into the new year. We've owned it for a while. On the strength of their the back of their weight loss drug, which we're I'm seeing more and more celebrities showing up thin all of a sudden, Barry.
Right? Yeah.
And it's not like they're getting bypasses of their, you know, their gut and all this kind of stuff. It's these weight loss drugs coming from two companies: Novo Nordisk, NVO, and Lilly. All right. Well, we got a good start to the market here. We're going to see some. Pretty ferocious trading, I would think, until about Friday when people head for the Hamptons, maybe Thursday. We're going to see some window dressing this week. That's probably what you're seeing today. People that haven't owned these leadership stocks, buying them now so they show up in their top 10 holdings, right, when they report, which I don't know.
A little window dressing.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. But, hey, it is what it is. All right, to get the newsletter 2 weeks free of the whole enchilada, GundersonCapital.com. To set up an appointment with us, get positioned for 2024, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.